produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Living Room. I'm your host, Juliette Davis, and it is my pleasure to be with you once again. We are so glad to have you, and you are going to be blessed by today's show. Before we get to our topic, I just want to say a few words to you related to the current pandemic. And as we continue to shelter in place and practice social distancing, it becomes clear that those of us who have a relationship with the Lord have an opportunity, unlike any other, to use this time to get closer to God, but also to use this time to share our faith with others. Unlike any other time before, we are dealing with uncertainty and death. We're dealing with people who are devastated economically, who are having to go to food pantries just to get their next meal. And if there ever were a time when the gospel can be made relevant and you can share your faith, it would be now. In fact, I encourage you to use your cell phone contacts and just take a moment and call somebody and let them know that you were thinking of them and ask them how you can pray for them. You have no idea how God will use those simple things to be a blessing and to let somebody know that they were on God's mind. I challenged my Destiny family, the church where my husband and I pastor, to do that. And the testimonies that came back were just amazing. I mean, people who felt like giving up got a phone call from somebody at a moment when they were feeling pretty low. And that phone call really helped to change their heart and their mind and their perspective. It was mind-blowing to them that this person whom they hadn't heard from decided on this particular day at this particular time to call them and encourage them. And that was a real significant moment for them. And I know that there are lots and lots of those moments out there to be had by anyone who desires to be used by God in this hour. So I just wanted to give you that as a challenge in some respects, because I know that it's very easy to become discouraged and distraught, especially when you see the news and the reports and the numbers that keep climbing of people who are losing their lives because of this virus. But let me tell you something. The Bible is full of examples of how God took a very destitute and desperate situation and brought good out of it. And so I just wanted to share that with you. The second thing I want to say to you is please, please adhere to the instructions that we've been given as it relates to our activities outside of the home. I continue to see reports of people who have decided that the social distancing guidelines don't apply to them, and they are outside without any mask or any sort of protection and exposing themselves to a virus that is airborne. That's some pretty serious stuff. And so because you and I know that our lives are precious and they matter to God, then we should take the proper precautions and just use wisdom. This is not going to last forever. We're going to get through this together, but we really do have to take the necessary precautions. And so I want to encourage you to do that. You know, just follow the guidelines. Of course, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. You know, try to make sure that you're not exposing yourself without any sort of protection. And just be mindful of the fact that this too shall pass. So that's my word of encouragement for the day. Let's go ahead and get into today's show. I have with me today Charlie P. from the Bridging the Gap radio show. He is with us again. If you remember the last time we were on, he was my guest, and we had so much to talk about that we literally ran out of time. So today we're going to pick up where we left off last time. And so, Charlie P., welcome again to the living room.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me. Such an honor to be here again.
Oh, you are so welcome. You know, the tagline for the living room is the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. And I believe that's exactly what happened the last time we were together. I heard some great feedback from people who listened to the show, and so we're going to get right into it today. I wanted to talk a little bit this time about how your faith becomes relevant in your life in different seasons. Of course, you know, before this virus and before this pandemic took hold of our nation and of course, our world, you were dealing with your own life situation. And so I want you to tell us a little bit about how your faith was relevant then, and then we're going to fast forward and talk about how your faith is relevant now.
Okay. So in this walk, you go from faith to faith. And when I say that, it's the experiences that I have been through have developed my faith, right? Every, you know, this whole faith is the glue that keeps this whole thing together of this Christianity, right? Of this whole walk. Faith is the glue that holds it all together. We first must believe God is real and believing that he sent his son to die on the cross and that he rose him again, and that he rose him from the dead, conquered life, death, life, death, and the grave for our sins. He walked this earth to show us how to walk this walk, how to walk a very human-like walk, having to face daily temptations, how to combat that. And in our faith, you know, Hebrews 11:1, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's something that is very unnatural, right? It's something that is very supernatural, and it's not something that can be understood in the carnal, because us as being carnal beings, we like to go off of things that we can see, right? The things that we believe that are tangible. So the trials that I've been through, the trials and the struggles that I've been through in the past, they have been faith growing experiences, because, you know, I like coming through, I know that God has brought me through, right? That when you know, at the base of, for me, the kind of cornerstone, you know, scriptures, when it talks about faith, for me, what kind of holds that faith in place is that, you know, that all things work together for those that love God, to them that are called, right? Called to this purpose.
According
like
to
that,
purpose.
And that gets me through the hard times, because it's like, even in the trials and the struggles that I go through, I have to believe that, you know what, this is all going to be for a purpose. I have to reconcile that with saying, all right, that's how I reconcile the trials that I go through, is that, you know what, even though I only may have a small picture, I only may have a small piece of this puzzle, that it's all going to work out for good because of God. Like I believe God is a master tactician, that in whatever yes, in any decision that I've made, and I'm so thankful, because even the stupid mistakes that I've made on purpose, God has still turned it around for my good. That so going through these experiences and experiencing this, the faith grows. And so as you go from faith to faith, as you go from, maybe another way to say, as you go from struggle to struggle, you're taking the faith that you had and you're currently building on that. You're currently taking where you are and you're building on that. So for those that are listening, you know, everybody's faith is at different places, wherever they are in their walk, and that's okay. You don't have to have a huge monument. You don't have to start with a huge monumental type of faith. No, you can have the faith of a mustard seed. And God acknowledges that. God recognizes that. And so, you know, understand, like, when we have relation with God, right, we're able to acknowledge God in the struggles that we go through. That's why James says, when he says count it all joy, he's not saying be happy because you're going through a struggle. No, he's saying that be happy, find joy, because in your struggle, you're connected to the person that has the answer to your problem. You can find joy. You can find peace in that. You can find solace in that, because you know what? You don't have to go through it alone. You're connected to the person that has the person that has the answer. You can call on him for help to get you through, and he will get you through. And that's what we believe. So when we go from faith to, so when you come across something that's like pandemic, you'll get to a point where it doesn't even really faze you. Like God had revealed to me, like, you know, I was at first, I had this mindset when it came to the pandemic that, oh, you know, it wasn't a big deal at first. You know, it was, you know, I was kind of into, well, you know, we should be more concerned about the flu. And as soon as I said that, the Lord had said, this is one of the plagues of the horsemen. Oh no, he said, this is the beginning of the end. This is one of the plagues of the horsemen. And that was it. That was all he said. And I was confused. Like that kind of threw me off, because again, if you sound in the very carnal, it sounds crazy. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you know, not being affected about it, because for one, I know, you know, for one, during this walk, and even when I would share that to people, the point I will always push, whether you believe it or not, the point is you need to get your life, not just get your life right, but make sure that you're in right standing with God. And so even when it comes time when you do fall short, because we all will, just be quick to repent. Don't sit on sin. Don't, you know, sometimes we can do something tonight and wait till the next morning. No, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't sit on sin. Repent right now. Repent there. Repent immediately. And that's always been the message I've pushed. And so when we're in that right standing with God, we don't have fear. We don't have fear when it comes to death. We don't have fear when it comes to things that when we lose our job there's a sickness or, you know, any kind of situation. It's not about not having this I don't care type of vibe, but you understand where your faith is. And because faith in and of itself doesn't have power. What has power is what the faith is connected to. God has the power. We believe in God. So when God sees our faith, and that moves him, that triggers him to move. So, you know, if I want to say, all right, you know what, God, like, you know, heal me. I believe I'm healed. It's like I'm activating God to work, you know, and however he sees fit. But so faith is always going to be relevant. It doesn't matter what situation. It's you know, even if you're at a stage right now where your faith is you want it to grow more, which I think we all should. You want it to grow more.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
Let God work in you. Let God continue to develop you. Let God continue to mold you. Understand that can come with hard times. That can come with trials. It most certainly will. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean this life just turns into sunshine and rainbows. No. But the struggle that you have, God is working you. God is just working to grow. Sometimes we have to go through those growing pains to get to a point where he wants us to be.
So in your season, before we were placed in the throes of this pandemic, your faith was relevant then because you had to truly trust God and walk with him as it related to your life's journey at that time.
Absolutely.
So some of the things that you share as it relates to not having employment and just needing to trust God, you know, for everything as it relates to, you know, the rent, the food, the car, everything, you know, how your faith, you know, really had to be on a level so that you didn't get worked up, in fear and anxiety about, you know, oh, mm-hmm. no, now what, you know, what am I going to do? Fast mm-hmm. forward now to, you know, basically the whole world being shut down, having mm-hmm. to be mindful of, you know, you're coming and you're going and wearing masks when you're out and, mm-hmm. and all of that, and seeing everything that's going on in the world around us. Now, how does your faith become relevant?
Man, it's still relevant. It's still growing. And it's evident in the walk. It's evident in the testimony, because just like you said, you know, I had lost my job back in February. And even right now, I'm in the exact same financial situation that I'm in as I was in February. In February, I had enough saved up to last like 7 to 8 months. Right now, as we speak, right now, I have enough saved up to last 7 to 8 months. So, you know, God has been
wow.
providing, and all my bills have been paid. I've been paying rent. I've been paying on the car, paying cell phone bill, paying all the bills, and I'm still where I'm at. And even on top of that, I not only attest that to my faith, because I know, like, the last season, I knew that God was working my faith before to grow, to be used for this next season. Because, again, we go from faith to faith. I had asked mm-hmm. God, I had wanted Abraham-like faith. So God put me in an Abraham-like situation where, you know what, I was in a situation where I'm walking up the mountain with sun in hand. I don't see how this promise God made me is going to come true, but that's all I got to hold on. And that's all I held on to was God's word. I said, you know what, God, even though everything around me, everything in my situation tells me this is not going to work, you told me this is what it is, and that's all I'm going to hold on to. And that pushed me to my breakthrough. That pushed me through, and God actually brought back. He held true to his commitment. He held true to his promise, and that faith is what's used for me to that faith brings me into being not worried. Even before this pandemic, when I lost my job, it was that faith that brought me into the season of when I lost my job, and then after that is dealing with the pandemic. So it's like, this is, you know, it's been a great faith walk. And so, yeah, I definitely want to. And I think one other thing that I haven't really told people, like, not only that, but during this season, I have been like the most generous as well financially. Like, not only am I, you know, not only am I tithing, but during this season, and this is maybe over the span of, let's see, well, since February, right? February, March, April, May, mm-hmm. it's now May, right? So it's 3 months. I have given more than I have in a long time. And I mean, like, on top of time. Like, I don't think I've actually given this much even away, you know. And, you know, that, I mean, I think that just goes to show, like, not only are, you know, when we're blessed, we're to pass it on, right? God doesn't want us to hold on to a blessing. Like, he wants us to release as well. Like, he does, you know, blessings don't stop at us. He wants to use us to bless others. So just, make, you know, being
wow.
open to that. And even as a result of that, all my bills are still getting paid. I'm still applying for jobs in faith as I'm being instructed from God. But at the same time, God is a provider.
Mm-hmm.
God is a provider.
Let me say this. The thing that really blesses me is to hear how God's provision is continuing to meet you right where you are, and how that provision is actually a testimony to those who, like many right now, are looking for work because the place where they, you know, have been working is no longer open. And now they have mm-hmm. to trust God in a way that maybe they've never trusted him before. So it's my prayer that testimony that you just shared would really help people to know that, you know, God is faithful and that he mm-hmm. is a very present help in the time of trouble. I want to say to you, my listeners, if you're just tuning in, I am into a dynamic conversation with Charlie P. from the Bridging the Gap radio show, and we are talking about faith today. What a timely mm-hmm. word, what a relevant word. That's the mm-hmm. fact that, you know, how your faith becomes real in the midst of circumstances. So if you're just tuning in, you're tuning in at a great time. Because this is a message that will apply to a lot of life situations. When I was listening to you, Charlie P., it reminded me of a post that I saw recently, and it essentially said, I asked God to help me grow, and then it began to rain.
Mm-hmm.
I asked God to help me to grow, And then mm-hmm. it began to rain. Because the thing yeah. about faith that many people, you know, may have difficulty with is that it really doesn't grow in times when things are going well. When, mm-hmm. you know, you've got money in the bank and all is well at home and all is well at work and there's no, you know, prevailing problems in your life. You know, you're just, you know, enjoying a season where there's nothing challenging going on. That's not when your faith grows. Your mm-hmm. faith grows when you are put in the season of adversity, when you mm-hmm. have to really rely on God in a way that you never have before, when you have to put his word to the test, when you have to do like David and say, you know what, I am not going to fight with any weaponry that has not been proven. And so when mm-hmm. he was going up against Goliath and King Saul offered him his armor, David denied it and decided to use what he was familiar with, which was mm-hmm. his slingshot and his five smooth stones. But what I'm getting at here is that our faith is like our weaponry. It's a part of our arsenal to be able mm-hmm. to fight the good fight of faith. And if we are not in a place where we've ever tried God, you know, and you've ever seen him come through in our lives, then we really haven't proven that he is who he says he is. In other words, he mm-hmm. wants to show you that, but the only way you'll see it is if you're being placed in an adverse situation. So if, mm-hmm. you know, there's a song that used to say, you know, I never knew, you know, that God could solve my problems, you know, but that's what faith in God will do. So you have to have a situation that requires God to step in. It requires that you believe him because you can't see him, taste him, touch him, feel him. It's not engaged based on your senses, right? But you mm-hmm. still have to have faith. Because mm-hmm. it's what the substance of things hoped for, as you said, and the evidence of things not seen. So now here we are in this crisis, and people are losing their jobs. People have not worked in weeks. You know, families are having to move in with each other because they are able to have a consolidation of resources to be able to survive. And a whole lot of other things that are happening right now. And here is that moment when everybody's faith is really being put to the test. And I believe that God loves it when we put his word to the test. I believe that he's like, oh, okay, this is what now the moment that I've been wanting to get to. Here's what I wanted to show you all along, that I am a way maker. Amen, that I am a miracle worker, that I am a promise keeper. But you don't get that until you go through something. So probably the thing we want to say about faith in this season is it's now that your mm-hmm. faith has a chance to actually be demonstrated. And it's right. now that you have an opportunity to get to know God in a way that you have never known him before. And what a powerful moment that is. Amen. I encourage everybody, put your faith on the line when it comes to the things that you're dealing with in your life right now, be it finances, be it health, be it economic or financial in nature, whatever it is, put your faith to the test. And my God, watch him show up in a powerful way.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing I kind of just wanted to insert in there, and you know, even, you know, looking at that post of, yes, you know, ask for God to increase my faith, and then it began to rain, that I would encourage when it rains to hold on, because not when that storm is over, rain also has a secondary, you know, it may feel like, this everything's going rough, the foundation may be shaken, but that rain also has a second job, that it nurtures the ground. It supplies nutrients so that you can grow.
Yeah,
you can turn a small seed into a mighty tree. Just hold on through it. Hold on to that storm, so that mighty tree will then be able to weather those storms, weather those hurricanes.
Wow. That's powerful. And that's the beauty of it is because without the rain, what, the flowers don't grow. You know, the nature doesn't bloom without that rain. And so we should change our minds, you know, about some of the things that we're going through so that we can see, okay, you know, I didn't ask for this and this would not have been my choice. But now that I'm here, you know, God, how can I see your marvelous works? How can I see, you know, your excellent greatness? How can I see your power be revealed in this situation? How can I see your glory? Amen. How Absolutely. Can I see your glory revealed in this situation? So mm-hmm. here's my next question, because you are, I'm a millennial, and and I often wonder about people who are within your demographic, your age group, mm-hmm. who maybe before now, you know, had a bad experience with church. Maybe they mm-hmm. were offended. Church hurt sometimes is some of the worst wounds that you can suffer because mm-hmm. it comes from a place that you feel like it should not have. And mm-hmm. and it's such a contradiction to what most people think church should be. So when they're wounded mm-hmm. there, they feel very offended by it. But I wanted to talk about the generation that has decided that they no longer want to connect with church and they don't see the relevance of church. And now they're in the midst of this pandemic like everyone else. What would you say mm-hmm. to those people?
So I was going to say one thing at first, but so I'm kind of feeling led to say something before I say that. So first, when it comes to church hurt, that there is an important thing, you know, you should first begin with working on that forgiveness within you. I think that comes first, because a lot of times we can be offended and we can hold on to things, and that has so many negative effects. You can become bitter by holding on to things and not letting things go. You know, the Lord says we're to forgive others just like he forgives us. And when you do that, you know, first you want to be able to hit this, because you want to be able to let that go and not have that burden on you, not have that burden on your spirit. Second, what I would say is, you know, in this Christian walk, that even though it is not, church is not mandatory for salvation, but I would argue it's still required for you to grow. You can't grow on this walk by your own, by yourself.
Okay.
That, yeah, you know what, the price of salvation was free. It came with a cross through Christ's death on the cross. That you believe that, that's something free. Salvation is free when you believe that. But to grow, now you have to be under a covering, somebody that's God ordained in order to give you a word. Somebody that, you know, I like to be a part of something where I find, I guess, attractive about churches. And I know everybody has their own standards when it comes to church. But for me, the most important is being fed, right? That, you know, I want to be able to, you know, sometimes I've had experiences where, you know, I'm sitting in the sanctuary and the pastor or bishop may say something and I'll have that feeling of, who told you I was going through that, right? That's something the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit working.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? He, that's God ordained. It's important to be under somebody like that to help guide you through the word, to help open your eyes and educate you on Bible, different perspectives and different lessons that are there. It's definitely important to do that. So if you are, you know, if you do get to a point where, you know, you may not like a particular church, that's fine. It's okay. There's a season for everything. Proverbs, there's a season for everything. Just like there is a season for a particular church. That doesn't, if you get offended and you want to like not, you know, maybe you don't want to go to that church. That's okay, but don't let that be the last time you step into a church. Put in that effort. Go to, all right, let's see what else is around here. Maybe I don't like that. After you get that, I would say after you would, you're at some point you're going to have to address that, right? You're going to have to address that church hurt that you have in order to let that go. But then you know, if the next move is, you know, God's having you to go to another ministry, then do that. No, I'm not gonna say if. Go to another ministry. Go to another church. That's okay. That's okay to do that. But make sure that you're steady trying to feed, to get fed, to build that relationship, to know God more, to understand His word, to understand His character. Continue to try to do that, because this whole life is about relationship. Like, it's about relationship with God, and you, that's certainly a way to increase that relationship, to increase that understanding about who God is,
right,
by going to church, by getting a God ordained message that speaks weather to you. You never know. You can go into a church, beginning something, and get the answer to what you need because you were obedient, because you went to a word and the pastor spoke into your life. You never know, but it's not wise to just cut that out, because you're eliminating, you're basically cutting off that path. Like, you know what? That's not even going to be an option. No, do that. Like, I think we all want to grow, and that has a direct correlation to what we just talked about in faith. Like, faith is a growth.
Exactly.
It's a walk. It's a process. This whole thing's a walk. But definitely,
right,
continue to seek ministry. Continue to seek after it.
Right.
Even if you have to go to it's not wrong to go to another church. It's not wrong. Don't feel guilty if you have to do that. Sometimes different people are called to different ministries all the time. It's okay. But don't use that as an opportunity because you get offended to just stop going to church. No, that's not what God has called us to do. He has called us to continue to minister. He has called us to continue to grow in that walk. He wants God, it's in Job, God wants to talk to you even more than you can imagine wanting to hear from Him. That's fun. And
absolutely.
So imagine, like, just imagine that. You know, it's so many people that I've talked to about, you know, they want to hear from God so much. God wants to talk to you so much more. And the thing about it is that God talks to people over and over and over again, but people don't recognize it. And so make sure that you're doing all you can, including going to church, so that you can. That is another way that you can discern the will of God. That's another way you can hear the word of God. Is God also speaks through other people. He speaks through pastors. He speaks through elders. He speaks through other people. So it's always important. It's important to go to church. Definitely go to church. Keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the thing that I would say as we wrap this up is that the key thing is discipleship. And that's kind of the summation of everything that you've said, is that God calls us to be disciples. And so once we make a decision to make Christ the Lord of our lives and we accept Him into our heart, then we have to grow, as you said, in the knowledge of Him. And so the discipling is to sit and submit under someone who is going to teach you the things that you need to know about God, and then things that you need to know about how to make Him known, because those are the two things that disciples are responsible for. They're responsible for knowing God themselves, and then they're responsible for making Him known. And so you can't do that watching a message on television. You can grow like that, but those people that you watch on television or you watch online, they're not going to step into your life and disciple you. They're not going to hold you accountable for, you know, developing your relationship with God. And they're not going to be available in the sense that you have person-to-person contact to help you to answer some questions and to help you to develop. And so that is why, you know, television ministry and online ministry have its place, but it was never meant to take the place of a connection where you are in a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church, and that there's somebody there who knows you and who is, lovingly going to hold you accountable for, you know, your walk with God, because that's what it's all about. I thank God that I got into a Bible-believing church where somebody was willing to, you know, call me out on some things lovingly now. And help me to grow. I would not be who I am today if I didn't have godly mentors who, you know, were willing to, you know, come alongside me and help me to see some things that I wasn't able to see at the level that I was on, and show me some things. And thank God for that reason, you know, I've been able to do the same thing with others. As I've grown in Christ. So it's a cycle, and it's important that we take that time to recognize that each of us has a role to play. So, wow. Well, once again, we have had a dynamic conversation, and I really enjoy hearing, you know, the different perspectives about what it means to have a real and a relevant relationship with God. So I thank you, Charlie P., for being on the show again. We're going to touch bases with you in a little bit and find out what else is going on in your life. My listeners, I just want you to know, thanks so much for tuning in. If you need to reach me, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Facebook under the name Juliette Davis or Juliette Davis Ministries. I'm also on Instagram under the heading true_journey. Or you can email me at destinyempower@gmail.com. Either way, I would love to hear from you, hear how the show is blessing you, and hear what you'd like to hear on the Living Room in the days ahead, because we certainly want to be responsive to our listeners. Listen, this is a season like none other. So as I open the show, I close the show by admonishing you to get close to God in this season and allow him to use you in a mighty way. God bless you, and thanks so much for tuning in. And I look forward to having you in the living room, the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. God bless.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Chat and Chuckle with Key to Key. Thank y'all so much for tuning in with me tonight. And listen, I am so excited about this evening. But real quick, if you just want to, you know, message me, say, hey, Keita, what's up, and have any prayer requests or anything like that, you can definitely reach me via email. That's lovetomakeyoulaugh@yahoo.com or on social media, and that's Keita Keet. That's K-E-T-T-A-K-E-E-T. I'm on Facebook as well as Instagram. I would love to hear from you. So by all means, if you do want to reach out to me, you can definitely do so. Tonight is going to be a little different. I don't have a special guest this evening, so it'll be more chat tonight with Key to Key than Chat and Chuckle. We're still going to definitely do some chuckling, but just kind of want to talk to my listeners this evening. Definitely wanted to talk about laughter. We've heard it so many times that said laughter is good for the soul. But to be honest with you, laughter is good for everything. Laughter is absolutely great for everything. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 17:22 about having a merry heart and how it does the body good and it's healing for the body. Proverbs 17:22. But I just wanted to talk about laughter tonight and how it affects us physically as well as mentally or emotionally, and also what the Word of God says about laughter, because the Bible actually talks about laughter and joy and rejoicing in the Word of God. So just want to start off real quick talking about what laughter does for you physically, okay? Now, according to the Mayo, according to mayoclinic.org, and I just want to make sure that I have my sources straight and get the information to you correctly. According to mayoclinic.org, there are short-term as well as long-term benefits of laughter, okay? Short-term benefit number one, it stimulates many of your organs. Laughter enhances your oxygen intake, stimulates your heart, your lungs, and your muscles, and increases endorphins that are released to your brain. All right, now endorphins, for those of you who may not know, endorphins are sometimes called the feel-good hormone. All right, they are chemicals that actually help to relieve pain and stress. All right, so every time that you laugh, every time you have a good laugh, you know, sometimes you feel so good that you, after you laugh, it's like a sense of relief. Well, those endorphins are being sent to your brain to make you feel good. So it's actually called the feel-good hormone. It is a natural hormone in our bodies that helps us to feel good. Also, laughter soothes tension, it can stimulate circulation and muscle relaxation. So anytime that you're feeling tense, you know, whether you're at work, if you've been sitting still, or if you're in a situation where you start feeling tension, laughter will actually stimulate circulation and muscle relaxation. Okay, long-term benefits of laughter. Now, laughter can improve your immune system. Okay, did you know that negative thoughts manifest into chemical reactions that can affect the body by causing more stress into your system? That's right. All right, remember that negative thoughts can actually cause chemicals being released in your system that actually will cause an increased stress, okay? And it will also decrease immunity, okay? Now, on the flip side of that, positive thoughts can actually release something called neuropeptides, all right, that help fight stress and potentially more serious illnesses, okay? So actually thinking positive, retraining your brain to think positive thoughts, to think good thoughts, will actually help your physical body. Okay, so I looked up this word neuropeptides because I don't pretend to even know off the top of my head what neuropeptides mean. Okay, so let me just explain to you real quick. What are neuropeptides? All right, they are a group of compounds. It is a group of compounds that consist of amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein. They signal the brain and body by stimulating this word, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, analgesia, all right, which is actually a natural form of pain relief. So it relieves pain naturally, all right? also, talking about relieving pain naturally, laughter causes the body to produce its own natural painkillers. Okay, now I have had this told to me before. A person reached out to me via social media, and I think I put something on social media because I'm always cutting up on Facebook or whatever. And if I'm not saying something, I try to put out a funny video or something like that. And a person reached out to me and actually said that they had a headache, and they saw my post and they laughed to the point that their headache was gone. So I have actually gotten that testimony to say that the pain had been, it just been wiped away. So just know that laughter actually causes your body to release pain. Amen. All right. Emotional and mental benefits of laughter. Okay. It increases personal satisfaction. Okay, laughter can also make it easier to cope with difficult situations. okay? And it also helps you to connect with other people. You know, how many times have we been places and we don't know people from a can of paint? But if something happens in front of us or whatever, and it causes one person to laugh and someone else sees it, and it causes everyone to laugh, you know, it helps us all to connect with one another. And it definitely also helps us to cope with difficult situations. I just recently, like I said, I post videos or I make, you know, make funny posts on Facebook or social media. And I just recently put a video out for one of my characters. One of the characters I play is Yanaka Dor Jones, a.k.a. Knock Knock. A.K.A. Big Y, little A, big K, don't play. That's just, that is, you know, one of my characters, and she loves the Lord. You know, she a little hood, she a little rough around the edges, but she loves the Lord. But nevertheless, so I just posted a video that I did with Yanaka Dor Jones, and someone posted in the comments and said I needed that laugh, and so it blessed me. Because, you know, it's just something that I just wanted to put out there, to, you know, for to make people laugh and things like that, because I enjoy making people laugh. But then to see someone say that they needed that laugh, it really did bless me. And I'm grateful to God that I actually met a need for that day. Praise God. So laughter can also make things easier to cope with when we're dealing with difficult situations. Amen. And I have also heard of this too, because it can also, you know, laughter can decrease anger. You know, of course, you know, if you're laughing, you can't really be angry at the same time. You know, I'm not a parent. I am a godmother to two beautiful goddaughters. But to all the parents out there, to all my listeners who are parents, have you ever had where you went to go discipline your child? Your child did something and you went to go discipline them and they did something that made you laugh. And after that, either A, you couldn't discipline them because you were laughing, or B, the punishment was not going to be as severe as you thought it was going to be. You know, I know that happens a lot. That actually happened to me as a child. I kind of, not necessarily joked my way out of a punishment, but it was to the point that my mother could not punish me the way she wanted to, because she was trying not to laugh. But because she did laugh, it kind of like de-escalated the situation. So laughter can also decrease anger, but it can also de-escalate certain situations as well. So there are definitely benefits of laughter. Amen. Also wanted to talk about what the Bible says about laughter. Okay, the Bible talks about laughter throughout the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament. One of the verses in particular, Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, it talks about there's a time. There's a time to laugh. It says, Ecclesiastes 3 and 4 says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Amen. So we need to know when the times that we should not laugh. Okay. Now, of course, we should not laugh when someone's in pain or when someone has been hurt. You know, those are not the times to laugh. But there are other times where we can laugh and have joy and rejoice. Proverbs 31:25, which talks about the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:25 in the Amplified version says, she smiles. The virtuous woman smiles at her future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. All right. And another translation says, that she can laugh at the days to come, meaning that because she already know what her future holds, she can actually laugh and be full of joy and rejoice, knowing that she is prepared. Amen. That God has her now and in the future, as well as her family. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures, I have many favorite scriptures, but one of my favorite scriptures is Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you have ever been through a situation where most people on the outside looking in cannot understand why you have not called it quits or why you're not in your house just locked up, isolated from anything, that is because it's the joy of the Lord. I have been in situations where I have realized that the joy of the Lord was truly my strength. Amen. Now, I will say this because I wanted to look up to see what exactly the joy of the Lord is your strength, what it meant. And, of course, that verse is talking about the Israelites. You know, they repented to God and they realized that, hey, you know, we have been delivered. We have been set free, and the joy of the Lord now is your strength. So they told him to go eat, be merry, and have a good time and rejoice, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So I looked up exactly what the joy of the Lord is your strength meant, and I got this off of compellingtruth.org, and the definition says, the joy of the Lord is a supernatural confidence that God is sovereign, loving, powerful, and for us. It is the inner understanding granted by the Holy Spirit that no matter our circumstances, our condition, or our surroundings, God is working things out for our good. And that is definitely according to Romans 8:28. When I read that definition, I had to read it several times because it stuck with me. It really did hit me. A supernatural confidence that God is sovereign, loving, powerful, and for us. That is why when other people are on the outside looking in and they look at your situation and they're wondering how you are making it, they're wondering how you are getting through, it is the joy of the Lord. It is a supernatural confidence that only God can give. No, people, you've heard people say, this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. That is the truth. It comes from God. It is a supernatural confidence that no matter our circumstances, our condition, or our surroundings, God is working things out for our good. Now, I posted something on social media the other day. And actually before the year 2020 hit, because 2019 for me, I can't speak for anyone else, 2019 for me was a little different. It was very challenging, 2019 was. But before 2020 came, I was praying one day, and I was talking to the Lord, and I'm just going to be honest with you, me and the Lord, we had very real conversations. Because he is our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves us to no end. So he definitely knows us. He created us. He knows everything about us. So when I talk to my Heavenly Father, I talk to my Heavenly Father. You know, I'm very real with my Heavenly Father. There is no thou was thine. Nevertheless, there is none of that. There is just straight talk. Like, Father God, this is your daughter. You already know this is your daughter, Keita. So I'm very real when I pray to my Heavenly Father. And 2020, I just declared and I said, you know what, Lord? This year, I'm going to call this the year of the unbothered. That's it. This is the year of the unbothered. 2020 and beyond is the year of the unbothered. And I wanted to say, you know, I was like, you know, Lord, let me just explain why I feel like this. This is the year of the unbothered. I said, because I'm not going to be bothered by those things that, for lack of a better word, don't matter. You know, I'm not going to be bogged down by distractions and certain circumstances. You know, show me where to put my focus. That is where I want to go. But other than that, this is the year of the unbothered. I am full of your joy, your peace, in the name of Jesus. I have the peace of God. When Jesus died on the cross, he gave us his peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. any and everything that's going around you. I mean, it's just so much stuff going on. You can see it in the news. You don't even have to watch the news. It's just in your community, in the local area. It's everywhere. But when you have the peace of God and when you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength, you can have the year of the unbothered. And it is a supernatural confidence that God is sovereign, loving, powerful, and for us. So once we know that God is just this, sovereign, loving, powerful, and for us, we can have an unbothered year. We can have an unbothered life. Amen. So getting back to talking about the peace of Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross and he gave us his peace. Jesus even talks about joy. Amen. Jesus talks about joy and laughter. In the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh." He talks about even after you have wept, you will laugh again. He even talks about rejoicing. Especially when he's referencing his parable, specifically the parable about the prodigal son, that is in Luke 15:11-32. And of course, that is definitely a familiar text. The prodigal son is a story of not just redemption, but a father's love and how the father rejoiced once he saw his son returning, once he saw the prodigal son returning. And this is a parable to show us how God sees us, how loving God is. It just shows the true love of God that he has for us, that no matter what we've done, no matter where we've gone, when we come to ourselves and realize that God is our loving Father and we can go back to him, this is what God does when we return back to him. He rejoices. Amen. So I take comfort in knowing that that no matter what, when I go to God, he rejoices. Amen. So we also have to understand, because we are made in God's image, when we laugh, know that God laughs. God has a sense of humor, period. God definitely has a sense of humor. So whatever we do, God has put it in us. And you can see it all around, you know, God having a sense of humor. Sometimes, and I say this in my comedy set, I talk about this in my comedy set sometimes about God having a sense of humor, but also knowing that when you are dealing with something, you know, you may be having kind of an off day or your day didn't start off right, God will show you something just for you, literally just for you, and it's something that will make you laugh. And you will know that it's God because, A, no one else has seen it. But, B, God already knows, like, you know, the day might not be starting off good for them. I know what they need. God always knows what you need before you really need it. So for me, I know for me, I can speak for myself, that God will show me something and I will just bust out laughing. And I literally could be the only one laughing. But I know it is just for me. So and in those moments, I say, thank you, Lord, because you know exactly what, you know exactly what I needed. Amen. So just wanted to share some things with you tonight. Like I said, just you know, the show is a little different tonight because it's just key to key. I'm just chatting tonight with you. But I did just want to talk about laughter and joy, and how we as believers can still laugh and have fun in God. Just because we got saved, or just because you got saved and became a believer, does not mean that all of that stops. As a matter of fact, it increases as a believer. Or I say it should increase as a believer. You know, we should walk around knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, we have Christ. We have Christ in us, and we have the mind of Christ. We have a loving Father, that loves us so much. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to always be with us, to always help us, to guide us, to keep us, to show us everything. I mean, it's a full package. It's a win-win. Win. It's a win to the, not to the second power, it's a win to the third power. It's a win cubed. So we can so we can know. So we can definitely know that God has us. Amen. So I just want to say thank y'all so much for your time, for listening this week. I pray that something I said would bless you. And if you have a chance to go back and just study those scriptures, we went through Proverbs 17:22. We talked about Romans 8:28, which is also one of my favorite scriptures. Let's see, Nehemiah 8:10. We definitely talked about the joy of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. You're going to always have a time to laugh. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and I pray that y'all have a blessed evening.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.